announcing the firing of Sashi Brown as the executive vice president of football operations after a 1-27 mark. ESPN's Adam Schefter.
They were going to make some changes. They have another winless season going. They have not won a game on a Sunday since December 13, 2015, when Johnny Manziel led them to a 24-10 win over the 49ers. This is a team that traded away the pick that became Carson Wentz, a team that traded away the pick that became Deshaun Watson.
The team did say they will keep Hugh Jackson around as their head football coach for next season. Football tonight, Falcons and the Saints kick from the Mercedes-Benz Stadium beginning at 8:30.
Mike Golic here. Friday, the new head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, Scott Frost, joins. Plus, Field Yates and Jalen Rose stop by as well. It's Golic and Wingo Friday, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What could be better than watching your team defeat their rival? Celebrating the victory with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Award-winning Larceny Bourbon is made with more wheat for a smoother taste. It's hand-selected by our master distillers from the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
Hello, everyone. Domino's here. There's a sound you should get used to. That's right, we love our customers, and we're not above a little kissing up. And that's why we have a ridiculously good deal. We're giving you half off all pizzas when you order online. Go to Domino's.com, select the coupon, and get all pizzas for 50% off menu price. But hurry, it's only valid through December 7th. Oh, yes, we did.
Online only. Limited time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Offer applies to the pizza portion of your order only.
McMurray goes marathoning again this weekend.
Well, I'm actually at the end of all my long runs now. Everything is kind of downhill from here.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Hey, it's Rob Tanner, and NASCAR USA is giving one lucky listener a trip to the 2018 Daytona 500. We'll tell you the country music artist who performed and the driver who won the Daytona 500. You tell us what year it happened. It's the Daytona 500 Rewind. Log on to mrn.com/NASCAR USA with your answer. See entry site for details, and for tickets to the Daytona 500, call 1-800-PIT-SHOP or visit Daytona500.com.
After cycling all season for a 100-mile race and running a half marathon earlier this year, Jamie McMurray is upping his game this weekend by running a full marathon Saturday on Kiawa Island in South Carolina.
Four and a half months ago, when Josh Wise, who trained me for this, he put together a plan. There was a spreadsheet of every single week with every race and kind of what we were going to do. And I remember reading it, and I'm like, there is no way I'm going to be able to pull this off. And, you know, it's crazy how much what your body adapts to, and especially when you want to do something.
McMurray believes all the physical training helps him behind the wheel of his race car. Check out his season review feature Friday at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome back in. Welcome to the third and final hour of the Todd Brollenkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Not on all three frequencies, because on 1600 AM we'll have the Iowa-Iowa State Men, the Cyclone Radio Network presentation. John Walters on the call. Last night in Ames, it was the Iowa Women winning for the first time since 1989 as they got a big monkey off their back, and we're going to kick off the third hour with Jan Jensen, Iowa Associate Head Coach, joining us. And I imagine you've been part of some very happy bus rides before, Jan, but what was that trip home like last night?
Well, it was just awesome. I feel like we wouldn't even need fuel. Our smiles and our energy could have taken us quickly back. But it was just so fun. This team has just been a joy. You know, we've really had some wonderful teams throughout our tenure here, but these this group is just having a blast playing together, and they deserve that win. And I think Lisa probably talked about it in her press conference. It wasn't pretty. We weren't flowing as much offensively, but we were gritty. We did what we needed to do, and it feels good to not have that monkey on our back anymore. I tell you that.
How big is it, especially on the road, to have a performance like Mackenzie Myers last night, especially to jumpstart that offense?
Oh, it was huge because, you know, we've been pretty, you know, powerful offensively. We've been pretty much high octane this whole season. And we didn't figure it would be like that in Ames. We have tremendous respect for what Bill does, and he typically will take away your big strength, and someone else is going to have to step up and win it for you. And the first half, they really tried to take away our inside game. Megan Gustafson has been just stellar this whole year. But eventually it'll loosen up if you can just keep your head about you. And what was nice is that we were struggling to hit, some outside shots. Our power forwards were being left open because they were triple-teaming Megan to start the game. And then when you could have, you know, Max step up and go 4-for-4, it's nice to see that, and your team continues to have confidence. And as a coaching staff, it allowed us to, you know, realize that we can win in a lot of different ways.
Kind of appropriate that it was an Iowa girl in Mackenzie who led you guys last night. But you talked about Megan and her struggles in the first half. I think they were throwing some triple teams at her eventually. What adjustment did you guys make at halftime to get her loose, as you said?
Well, you know, when Megan had stopped by my office before the game, and I said, look, you know, you might only get about 4 points here. As long as we win the game, it's all good. And the greatest thing about Megan is she totally understood that. She gets that and is just the best team player. You know, it's really rare when you have a star, if you will, that can be so selfless and remain so calm. Because if you talk to most athletes, when you get boxed and won or you get doubled or triple teamed at times, it's easy to get agitated. It's easy to get your motor going and to get frustrated. And then the times when you do get a look, you blow it because you've been using so much energy in negative ways. And the joy of Megan Gustafson is that she just is all about the team. And she just worked in there. And, you know I might be a bit biased, but she was getting hammered. I thought they were really body fouling her in that first half, but she kept her cool. And eventually, we saw the seams, we saw the opening. So at halftime, we just gave them a couple different areas to look and how to hit her on a reversal, when to look at her on certain pins. And, you know, so she still ends up with a double-double. You know, she goes 5-for-8. And, of course, me, I'm biased. I think she got fouled on at least one of them. And, has 14 boards. So, you just can't say enough about a kid that kept her head and never worried about the fact that I don't think she scored a point until right before half. But just knew eventually it was all going to work out. And maybe she would get her double-double, maybe she wouldn't. And the most important thing that the team was going to win. And I think it's that attitude that permeates from her that makes this team such a joy to coach.
Bill said after the game last night he thinks she's an All-American. What does it mean to you guys to hear such high praise for her from Bill Fennelly and other coaches?
It's great because, you know, you can kind of be in your own foxhole, right? And you're like, God, this kid's great. You know, she's awesome. Do other people realize this? And I think Megan's performance against Florida State really opened up some national eyes. And obviously when you play the in-state schools, we respect Bill so much. And, you know, he's been around a few years and competes in another Power 5 conference. She continues her numbers, and obviously if we can continue winning, I think she certainly should be in the conversation because she's so doggone consistent. And it's great, you know, when you have other people outside of your foxhole that may be on a voting ballot or they talk to their buddies who are on the, you know, national voting boards, it sure feels good to know that other people are seeing what we're seeing.
As a coaching staff, how much easier can you breathe knowing that, yes, she is averaging over 20 points per game, but your scoring has been incredibly balanced this season?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the the beauty of a team that's pretty selfless is they really kind of take what they get. You know, it's not, nobody goes in tight thinking, geez, I hope I get a double-double, or man, I hope I get looks at a three tonight. They're really content just to play our offense. And I think what's fun is we really like to push. And, you know, like last night, Iowa State, what they did is they sent four back to stop the break. So, you know, it slowed us a little bit, but boy, you know, there was nobody crashing. So that really, you know, kind of helped our rebounding, and we still were able to get the ball out and get it up to the floor. Now, maybe we didn't get those breakaway layups, but yet we were still, you know, at a pretty comfortable pace. So I think our kids know if we can go when we start, any given night, we pretty much coach with the green light. And like last night, Mac, when they let her open just even a little bit, she could just, you know, let her fly. And I think they know that. And sometimes it's your night. You know, Mac hits 4 for 4 in the first half, and she carries us. Tania Davis, boy, she didn't hit so well last night, but, man, she had 5 assists, 0 turnovers, and awesome defense. So I think it's that selflessness, and I think it gives us confidence. Back to your question, you know, Megan is that consistent force, but if they do try to take her away and not let her be the key cog, we're seeing other people figuring it out and having the confidence to say, all right, I'm up next. You know, I'm ready to do it. So I think that was the big thing that we got out of that game. It wasn't our prettiest. It wasn't our most efficient offensively. But, boy, it was one of our best defensively. And we did enough when we needed to do it to come out of Hilton happy.
Iowa Women's Associate Head Coach Jan Jensen joining us in the third hour of the program tonight. Lisa said after the game last night that she was having a hard time putting into words what that victory meant, given the drought. Now that it's been about just under 24 hours, have you guys been able to figure out how to explain what that win meant last night?
Yeah, you know, I think anytime, you know, whether you're on the positive side of such a long run or the negative side of it, you know, after, you know, let's say 5-7 years, it kind of takes on a life of its own. You know, just human nature, that's all people really want to focus on before you play it. The media, you know, the people, the reminders, oh, you haven't done it, the home team's held serve for, you know, every year except one in the last 20 years. And so it just is, it's not so much, I think, sometimes for you internally as a coach, because you can process the fact that there's a reason that there are home court advantages and why typically a team wins at home. And then when you have a great home court, as Hilton does. But it's just the constant reminders and the, you know, the pressures, I guess, because, you know, your fans just want you to win, and you want to win for your recruits, and you want to win for your players, that, you know, it's just time, you know. And we felt this year that our team is pretty doggone good. And on paper, we seem to be better. But we also know that that doesn't mean a doggone thing. You know, you actually have to do it. So it was freeing, you know. It was just nice to kind of, as you guys said earlier in the show, you know, just get the monkey off your back. And I think what makes it really fun is it's this particular team, because they have been nothing short of a blast since we started last spring. And then, you know, we added the newbies in the fall. They just get it. If you define the team and how you want them to look every day, how you want them to act every day, this is the type of team that every coach in the country, any sport, would like to coach. And I'm not guaranteeing cutting down nets or championships. I'm just saying the joy of the journey. And when you have that journey, you want to have those really high moments along the way. And this team deserved a high moment. And it was fun that this team could get it for all the Hawks that have come before that have come up just a little short over there. So it is. It's been a great day. It's just nice to kind of have that off our back and, you know, just to reflect a bit on it. And so we'll keep enjoying it until tomorrow, and then we turn that page, and it's all about Arkansas Pine Bluff and getting ready for the next two in-state rivals after our finals week, which we'll play at Northern Iowa, and then we'll round out the non-conference season hosting Drake. And, you know, in this state where we're so fortunate is we have some doggone good basketball on both the men's and women's sides. In every one of the four-state schools. So there is never an easy night, that's for sure.
I'm looking forward to that Drake game. I know Jenny Lillis has your alma mater, Humming. Yeah. They won the Valley last year, and She's had some nice wins this year. 2 o'clock tip-off Saturday, Arkansas Pine Bluff at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And Jan, before we let you go, we haven't talked to you yet since the Register announced that you were going into the Iowa Sports Hall of Fame. What did that honor mean to you? And congratulations, by the way. Well-deserved.
Well, thank you. I don't know about the well-deserved part, but I tell you, it was a fun honor. And when one comes your way like that, you certainly take them. But, yeah, you know, I think, you know, being a native Iowan, growing up in this state and being a little kid when I started to figure out the sports section with the Big Peach, you know, way back in the day of the Des Moines Register, and then just reading about all the people that have gone before and have, you know, received that honor, it's really, you know, just humbling. And I just truly feel so blessed. And I've just had a really blessed, you know, high school career and college career and now a professional career. And I had a lot of people along the way that put me in a position. And I really feel very, very fortunate. So I'm just really thankful. And it was the best thing about those deals is all the nice texts and calls you get from, you know, people of your past and present. So it was a very nice moment in time, and thanks so much for mentioning it.
Well, we know you're incredibly busy, and we appreciate you carving out just a little bit of time tonight to talk with us about the win last night. But best of luck moving forward, and we'll touch base with you down the road. Thanks, Jan.
Well, thank you, and I just want to thank you guys for giving us some time. We really appreciate it. We have a great fan base, and it only gets even better when guys like you are able to squeeze us in. So thank you so much, and we're so excited that we could be talking about a win over Iowa State.
Anytime, Jan. Take care.
Okay, take care, guys. Happy holidays.
And same to you. Jan Jensen, associate head coach of the Iowa women, winning on the road last night in Ames, first time since 1989. And Lisa Bluter really struggled to put into words after that game was over last night. I listened to a little bit of Rob Brooks's call on the Hawkeye Radio Network. Had a very hard time coming to terms with the emotions. That's a big rivalry. You heard Jan there, they respect Bill Fennelly and what he's done at Iowa State, and Bill Fennelly respects Lisa Bluter and what they've been able to do in Iowa City, but two programs that approach things a little bit differently and really go at it hard when they play. That was a good physical game last night. The Hawkeyes just had more firepower and came out on top.
That's just an amazing statistic, the streak, I should say, for Iowa State, and the one that Iowa just broke. And I guess the way for me to put it in perspective is the players, some of the players last night involved in that game broke a streak that went back a decade before they were born, which is absolutely incredible.
Well, I think before last night, in the last 16 years, the road team had only won once. So the same problem for Iowa State coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena. That's a tough building for them to win in as well. We'll step aside, take a quick break. We're so packed today. We've got Woodja coming up in just a few minutes. Going to take us up to 7 o'clock tonight. Third and final hour of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Continuing with a big board update after this.
Guys, the JCPenney Holiday Challenge is on. Come in and save up to 50% off throughout the store. Get her something special like select fine jewelry up to 70% off after an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. And for JCPenney rewards members only, get 1/10 carat total weight diamond stud or pendant for just $25 each, only while supplies last. Get everything on her list for less than you think. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular original prices. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Diamond studs and pendant excluded from coupon and rewards. Other exclusions may apply. See store at jcp.com for details.
We alarm our houses, and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
It's time for some straight talk, Wingo.
Hit me, big fella.
Athletes love to talk trash, right?
Absolutely. Like you couldn't cover a bed with a blanket or you couldn't catch a cold.
Yep. That's good. Well, athletes aren't the only ones who love to talk smack. Those big wireless companies love to brag about how great their data plans are.
Sure, they say they have, quote, unlimited plan, end quote, until you run out of data and they hit you with a data overage.
Bingo, just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. Their ultimate unlimited plan is exactly that. Unlimited. You get all the high-speed 4G LTE data you need for just $55 a month.
And no overages.
Exactly. All on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks, best phones, best networks, and now the best unlimited data deal.
It speaks for itself.
Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited Plan. Get 4G LTE data that never runs out for just $55 a month. Available at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
6:21, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn. We'll get you to 7 o'clock tonight on two of our three frequencies, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. That's because coming up in just a few minutes, at the bottom of the hour, 1600 AM is going to once again switch over to the Cyclone Radio Network. John Walters and Eric Heft will be live at Hilton Coliseum as the Cyclones welcome Iowa to town. The College Football Awards Show, brought to you by Home Depot, currently underway on ESPN. And I know Kyle's ready to give you an update as to whether or not Josh Jackson is this year's Jim Thorpe Award winner. That award was just handed out by Bob Stoops on the stage. So here now for another Big Board update brought to you by Midwest One Bank, it's Kyle.
Yeah, Iowa defensive back Josh Jackson had a chance to take home the Jim Thorpe Award tonight as one of three finalists at the College Football Hall of Fame for the College Football Award Show. Unfortunately for him, that award was just given to Alabama's Minka Fitzpatrick just a few minutes ago. So Jackson's got a lot of awards, but not that one. The Iowa women's basketball team beat Iowa State inside Hilton Coliseum last night for the first time since 1989 by a score of 61-55. Megan Gustafson turned in 16 points and 14 rebounds, but the Hawkeyes were led in scoring by Mackenzie Meyer with 18. It was a defensive struggle all night, and the Hawkeyes held the Cyclones to just 29% from the floor. Josh Jackson and Josie Jewell were named first-team All-Americans by Sports Illustrated today, and Iowa State linebacker Joel Lanning was also recognized by Sports Illustrated, being named a second-team All-American as an all-purpose player. Lanning was on the field for 934 snaps this season, and he's the first player to record a sack, interception, fumble recovery, and both a passing and rushing touchdown in a single season since Eric Weddle did it for Utah in 2006. Jamie Pollard gave another update on ticket sales for the Liberty Bowl this morning. He says both Iowa State and Memphis have sold out their 15,000 ticket allotments. It's the men's turn to go at it in the Cy-Hawk series tonight, and we'll have that game from Ames beginning at 6:30 on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. That means we're going to wrap up the final minutes of our show on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Minka Fitzpatrick on the CBS Sports rankings for the NFL draft was the only defensive back that was ranked higher than Josh Jackson. So certainly a worthy recipient there. It would have been a nice footnote in history. Iowa would have had two of the last three Jim Thorpe Award winners. Doesn't take anything away from the season that Josh Jackson has had. And who knows, maybe that's motivation for him to come back for his senior year. Right?
Yeah,
right? If you're an Iowa football fan, right?
Wishful thinking, yes. Now, I think both of those guys are going to be first-round draft picks, and this was a very star-studded Jim Thorpe Award finalist list with Deshaun Elliott, the other finalist from the University of Texas. So what Josh Jackson has done has been outstanding this year, and it's so difficult to pick. I know we talk about postseason awards all the time, and Iowa State fans weren't exactly happy that Saquon Barkley won the Paul Hornung Award, which goes to the nation's most versatile player instead of Joel Lanning. And there are so many other glaring misses as far as finalists and winners goes. This is just a pick, a coin toss between two really good cornerbacks, and Minka Fitzpatrick is well-deserving as well.
I feel badly for Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. He had a 16-inch story on Josh Jackson ready to be published if he won, and that story now will never see the light of day. Not as bad as I feel for Dylan Montz, who joined us in hour number two of the program, and the idiot host of the program had him working at the wrong newspaper. Yeah, that's my bad. He's at the Ames Tribune now and has been for quite a while. Nobody else jumped on that grenade, did they?
But, no, I have to admit, that is partially my fault as well.
No. This is I'm gonna wear this one. But For cripe's sake, you think you'd be a little bit better prepared to do the program, wouldn't you? Now, see, that ruins today for me, because I was getting ready to walk out of here tonight. Now, granted, we haven't had the train wreck segment, would you? But I was getting ready to walk out of here tonight thinking, dang, Paul Shirley interview went really great today. It was a loaded program, went 3 hours strong, pretty solid, probably only made one or two glaring errors as opposed to the five or six that I normally make. And then that happened.
Well,
and Dylan, to his credit, was a professional about it and didn't point it out, didn't throw me under the bus on the air. I am now throwing myself under the bus. I am committing verbal suicide.
Well, it was you. I believe it was you, Todd.
Honk, honk, here comes the bus.
Was telling me, don't get too high or too low. If you make a mistake, move on, don't fret.
Yeah, I'm like the Yoda of sports talk radio hosts in 200-sized markets. I didn't get a chance to listen to my former co-host earlier today. He does a morning show now in Knoxville, Tennessee. But one of the subjects we're going to talk about on Woodja is whether or not Tennessee, after all of the mishaps in their coaching search, whether or not they actually came out of this in good shape. That's one of the number of subjects we're going to be touching on Woodja. We need to step aside here shortly. We're going to be joining the Cyclone Radio Network coming up at the bottom of the hour on 1600 AM. Iowa State men on the way for you tonight. So if you are listening on 1600 AM and want to catch the final 30 minutes of the show tonight, you'll have to do so either by switching over to the FM side, 106.3 in Iowa City or 107.5 in Cedar Rapids, or heading online, kgymradio.com, and listening to the stream while you're there. You can also vote in the poll question. 80% of our listeners feel that Iowa State will beat Iowa tonight at Hilton Coliseum. Not much of a surprise there. They are a 6.5-point favorite to do so tonight. Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast bringing you the poll question. We step aside now. We say goodbye on 1600. And we say stick with us on 106.3 and 107.5. Back after this.
What could be better than watching your team defeat their rival? Celebrating the victory with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Award-winning Larceny Bourbon is made with more wheat for a smoother taste. It's hand-selected by our master distillers from the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
Hello, everyone. Domino's here. There's a sound you should get used to. That's right. We love our customers, and we're not above a little kissing up. And that's why we have a ridiculously good deal. We're giving you half off all pizzas when you order online. Go to Domino's.com, select the coupon, and get all pizzas for 50% off menu price. But hurry, it's only valid through December 7th. Oh, yes, we did.
Online only. Limited time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Offer applies to the pizza portion of your order only.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out CarpentersUnionApprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
I'm the neighbor with the orange tractor. I plant, grow, harvest, haul, and feed. Caring for the land is a responsibility we all share out here. For our families, for ourselves, for us all. Right now, a Kubota M7 can be yours with 0% financing for up to 84 months. Now through December 31st, 2017. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
We now leave regular ESPN programming to bring you this live sports presentation.
Napa Know How!
Screwdrivers are like socks. Somehow the one you need is always missing. Lucky for you, Napa has a 26-piece screwdriver set on sale for just $19.99. Get it to replace lost tools or upgrade your current set for your neighbor to borrow and never return. Again, 26 screwdrivers for just $19.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 12/31/17.
We alarm our houses. And we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your Social Security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
It's boys WOMAC basketball this Friday night on KGYM. Join Alex Kuhn and Eric Peterson this Friday night at 7:30 from Tiffin on 107.5 and 106.3 FM as Clear Creek Urbana hosts Center Point Urbana. The Storm and Pointers are one of the favorites in the WOMAC West and host a Clipper team eager for the upset. That's boys WOMAC basketball presented by First Federal Credit Union. Center Point Urbana at Clear Creek Urbana. Friday night at 7:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM. I am.
6:31. Thanks for sticking around with us on our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. A quick note, we're going to be in studio again tomorrow, another respite of the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Still, though, an opportunity if you're in the market for a new set of tires, check out lindertire.com, especially the online site. They've got some savings coupons there, which you can then take to one of their three locations, Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City, for big savings. And it's pretty important to check out those tires as we are officially ready for snow. We walked out
Christmas
the door.
Christmas is officially right around the corner.
Walked out the door today, and there it was, just a little remnants in the street, but it was blown up against the curb. It was very clear that it had flurried a little bit, just enough to accumulate in a small patch in front of my house. But the heavy stuff's not going to come down for a while.
I hope.
Winter is here. It's not coming. It's here.
Isn't there a show
whose
slogan is "Winter is coming"?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, never heard.
Speaking of shows, last night,
never seen it.
Tip of the cap, I know 3530 on the Hurting and Stocker text line is a big South Park fan. It's been hit and miss the last couple years. They sort of did a send-up of It and Stranger Things last night, and it involved, they made fun of 80s music. And so as the kids were going on their journey to find Mr. Garrison, who in the most current season of South Park is President of the United States and bears a striking resemblance to the actual President of the United States, they said they needed some 80s music to go about their business so that it could be an official search. And the first song that played was the Super Bowl Shuffle by the 1985 Bears. And I think there was a little bit of Juice Newton in there as well. I heard Queen of Hearts. And maybe Richard Marx, if I recall correctly, from watching it this morning with my son, who will watch any cartoon with me. He is a little over a year old, and as long as he doesn't understand the language, he just sees a cartoon on TV. It's a Parent of the Year Award right there. Broadcaster of the Year
Todd's
Award.
Todd's Parenting Corner.
Yep. Broadcaster of the Year Award went out the window when I had Dylan Montz working at the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And Parent of the Year Award went out the window because I sit there on the couch with my son and watch South Park with him. Cartoons, cartoons, man. 319-366-1600, the Super Bowl Shuffle making its way to South Park last night. It is Thursday, and we got to do a little Would You.
It's now time for everyone's favorite weekly segment.
Would you rather know when you're going to die, or would you rather know how you're going to die?
But why would you even say that? For shock value?
Can you give yourself a ding?
It's as simple as a yes or no.
Of course you would. Who wouldn't?
Would you?
Alex, I'm going to start with you in reference to tonight's game in Ames and something that Jeremiah Davis brought up with us in the 5 o'clock hour. When would you say it's time to panic for the Hawkeyes? They've lost 4 of their last 5. They had a similar rough stretch last year and were able to turn things around. They were one of the last 4 teams to miss out on the NCAA tournament. But scheduling quirk this year, they're already 0-2 in Big Ten play, so these losses are coming at them in both directions.
I've always been told, maybe it was by you, Todd, there's never a good time to panic. panic is
not... Doesn't sound like something I would say.
Panicking is not a good emotion to have. It doesn't help anything. But if there was ever time to panic, if the Iowa Hawkeyes get blown out tonight on Iowa State's court and don't look good doing anything like they have these past couple of games, like they did against Indiana, like they did against Louisiana and South Dakota State and Virginia Tech, and for stretches against Penn State, then if there was ever time to panic, right now is it, depending on the result tonight. I expected so much more from this team, and right now, the way they're playing, I'm not sure if they're a 500 basketball team. So when you come in with the expectation of this team absolutely making the NCAA tournament, which is an expectation I believe a lot of people had, and you see this, then I don't necessarily think that right now is not the time to panic. And I just hope for the sake of Iowa fans that maybe this team tonight can put some things together, can get up for a rivalry game, can go into a hostile environment and show some fight. If they do, then maybe you think, okay, this team has a chance to turn it around, possibly put together a 500 record, possibly put together a winning record, maybe make a run at an NIT. I know it's way too early to start thinking about that, but if they look hapless again, then there's not much more... There's not much more concern you can have for this team other than to really push that panic button.
We'll take a look at Iowa's resume that they're putting together already early this year. They've lost to Louisiana Lafayette. They've lost to South Dakota State. They've now lost to start the Big Ten early in the year. They've now lost to Penn State, who, you know, Penn State's much improved, but to be at a place where Penn State is just flat out better at basketball than Iowa, that's not a great start.
Hadn't won in Carver since 2001.
Yeah, and then Indiana, they lose to Indiana. You know, Indiana's traditionally a strong program, but not one of their better teams this year. And so tonight with Iowa State, we know Iowa State is, you know, they also have looked better than maybe we expected. But they're not a great team. They're not a perfect team. I think if there's going to be a time to panic, depending how this game goes tonight, tonight might be it. Because one thing that I'm really going to look for is Iowa State's got the guy Lindell Wigginton. And I think that there's a real chance he could go for 30 tonight because there's flat out nobody on the perimeter who seems to be, you know, a particularly good defender. And if Iowa State has their freshman come out, he's a good player, but he's a freshman. He's, you know, inexperienced. If he comes out and he dominates this game, then that's a real problem for Iowa because, you know, a lot of the best teams in the country have good guards, good perimeter play. And if Iowa can't keep up with, you know, some of those perimeter-oriented teams, then it's going to be a long year. So I think, yeah, depending how this game goes tonight, tomorrow might be the start of panic mode.
I think that this game tonight could also curb what a lot of people's narrative around this team is, or some may say excuse for this team is, which is they're a young team. So is Iowa State. Iowa State, yes, they have a couple of graduate transfers in Donovan Jackson and Nick Weiler-Babb who are somewhat experienced, but they're not necessarily experienced picking up big-time minutes for Power 5 teams. And you have a freshman in Lindell Wigginton. You have a freshman in Cameron Lard. This is a young and not very deep Iowa State team. If they come out and look way better than this Iowa team, who, yes, they are young, but a lot of them have been through the ringer already. Jordan Bohannon, Cordell Pimsel, Ryan Kreener, Tyler Cook, those guys are sophomores, but they have gone through a full season. And if Iowa State comes out and looks flat out better than them, then that, in my opinion, takes away from a lot from the whole this is a young team narrative.
All right, Alex. Would you say Tennessee actually came out of its coaching search in good shape?
No, I wouldn't say that they came out in good shape. I think that they came out, they did a good job of damage control. They got somebody who I think they're trying to follow the University of Georgia model where they picked up a Nick Saban assistant coach. It worked for Georgia. Didn't work out very well for Florida. I'm speaking of Jim McElwain at Florida, of course, and Kirby Smart at Georgia, who has the Bulldogs in the Final Four. There's a chance that this could work. There's a chance that Jeremy Pruitt can hire an offensive coordinator to turn things around. I don't know. Jim McElwain's available if he wants to go that route. But there's also a chance that it could flop. And I thought that if Greg Schiano went to that program, I pretty much had a good idea of what things were going to look like. They were going to be a successful program eventually. What he did at Rutgers, what he had done at Ohio State. He even had his moments in the pros with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yes, they were few and far between, but he had his moments. So I thought that was a really good coach, and I thought that they ended up with much more of a wild card than what they would have had if they would have hired Greg Schiano. And at that point, I don't think that there was much choice for them. They had to go out and hire somebody. So many other coaches from around the country were going elsewhere or saying no to them that they had to hire somebody, especially when you had your former coach undermining the current athletic director. It was such a toxic situation that the fact that they got anybody was good damage control, but I'm not going to sit here and say that they came out on top or they have a sure thing by any means.
Yeah, really. I think Alex pretty much nailed it there. To say that they came out, you know, in a positive light, that's just not really the case. I think, frankly, they made the best of a bad situation, and that's as much credit as you can give them. Like Alex just touched on, you can see the formula that they went with. You know, it's a coordinator from a successful school, and obviously the Bama defense has been really strong over the last several years. But I think Alex talked about this on last week's Wadja. Are they hiring the right guy? You know, how much of Bama's defense and Bama's success can be credited to Jeremy Pruitt? Because there's a lot working in Alabama's favor there. First of all, it's Nick Saban. He's got his hands on that defense, and it doesn't hurt that defense and the team as a whole has been basically a minor league team for the NFL ever since Saban got there. So how much credit can Pruitt actually get? I guess we'll have to see. But then the biggest takeaway is that overall, the Tennessee fan base and just the way that the whole process went down, they did damage to their reputation that is going to linger for several years, and it's going to take a while for them to shake that. And let's just say that, you know, things don't go great for Jeremy Pruitt, just hypothetically. The next coaching search isn't going to be a whole lot easier, I wouldn't expect. So best of a bad situation, but did they come out really great? I wouldn't say so.
He's 43 years old. He's got 3 national championships on his resume as an assistant coach. He's coached in the high school ranks. He's coached in the college ranks. And now he comes to Tennessee as the program's 26th head coach. Okay, Kyle, which school then would you say has made the best hire to date among all of the new hires? Which school hit the proverbial home run? By the way, every hire is a home run until it isn't.
I would actually have to say this easy answer, I think, is actually UCLA with Chip Kelly, because it's two huge brand names coming together. It's UCLA, it's Chip Kelly. The university partly sells itself. Chip Kelly will sell the rest. You're going to get tons of recruits in there. It's a great city. I'm actually really excited for that school to be what I expect to be the best UCLA teams that I've seen in my lifetime. I'm excited for that. Chip Kelly really, he seems a lot like a can't miss. His track record in the college ranks have been nothing but successful. His system speaks for itself. It's taken over the whole country. Everybody else is just trying to be Chip Kelly. UCLA got the real McCoy. I think, you know, that's a good hire for them.
I think a lot of people would say Florida with Dan Mullen and Mississippi State getting Joe Moorhead from Penn State as the offensive coordinator at Penn State, who's one of the more innovative thinkers in college football. And I know my answer is going to be different, and a lot of Iowa fans aren't going to want to hear this, but I think Nebraska absolutely got the guy that they needed. They needed somebody to innovate that offense. That offense has not been good enough. That team has not been good enough since they ran the option for the Nebraska fans out there. They haven't won. Not only have they not won national championships, they haven't been close to that. They haven't won conference championships. And I think that Scott Frost is going to make that offense in the Big Ten West as feared as any, because I think he's a really good recruiter. And if he gets the right guys in there, not only at the skill positions, but at the quarterback position especially, he's one of the best quarterbacks coaches in the country. And he's a guy that came up in a defensive background. He's been taught by some of the best coaches to ever grace the sidelines in the sport. So I think this is going to be a resounding success. And what he did at UCF, turning an 0-12 team into a 12-0 team two years later, it speaks for itself. He helped revolutionize the offense in the Pac-12. People give Chip Kelly a lot of credit for it. Scott Frost was right there to do that as well, and he changed things in the AAC, and I think he's going to do it in the Big Ten West. It's going to be a little bit of an adjustment because they go from running somewhat of a pro-style offense to running that offense. It may take a year. They may go 6-6, 7-5 next year. But year two, year three, I think that Nebraska is going to be right back in the mix for a Big Ten West titles.
All right, Alex, if you were international signee Shohei Ohtani, what would you have as your number one priority in determining where you go among the seven teams that are remaining in the race? What are you looking for if you're him? Apparently, it's not big money.
I'm looking for the team that gives me the best nickname. No, I kid.
Bogus.
Bogus is not a good enough nickname. And if you tell me that my nickname is Bogus, I'm not going to your team. I'm a highly coveted international free agent. I'm 23 years old. I'm ready to step into any lineup or any pitching rotation. So you got to give me a better nickname than Bogus. It's hard for me to put myself in that guy's shoes because there's going to be a spectacle around him that none of us will ever experience. I think that we saw it with Ichiro throughout his career and the media frenzy that he created wherever he went, at all times, at every game. And I'm not saying it was a bad thing. It's just, it's a lot to take in. And I would want to go to a place where maybe the local scene was a little bit calmer than the international media scene that you know that you are going to get regardless. So a place like Seattle, where things are a little bit calmer, a nice setting, where you've seen Ichiro and the media circus that he created, it was able to sustain itself there. So I think that would probably be a really good fit.
Alex, that doesn't fall in with my narrative at all. I would really like him to go to a bigger town, but I'm not going to say which bigger town, but I don't want him to be afraid of big media. But if I were Shohei Ohtani, and what would my priority be? If I'm him, I've been labeled as Japanese Babe Ruth and a totally unprecedented talent in the modern era. I want to go to the team that's going to give me the best chance to succeed as a pitcher and also a hitter. And, you know, pretty much it seems like all these teams understand that they're at least going to have to give them the opportunity. But I might want to go to the team that has a manager who's widely accepted as the most versatile and innovative manager in baseball right now.
Alex, are you going to throw
about the Cubs here?
Are you going to throw the flag or am I here? The Cubs fan he's being selfish.
I didn't say Cubs.
He's being selfish.
Oh, that's funny.
No, and I knew it was going to end up like that because it does sound a lot like I'm just saying I want him to go to the Cubs. But if I am him and I've been labeled as a two-way player, you know, my allure is from my ability to play two ways. You know, the reality is that I want to go to the team that's going to put me in the best position to continue to do that because that's what I've always wanted to do. When he was younger and choosing whether he wanted to come to the majors and go through the minor league system, he ended up signing with the whatever his team was in the Japanese league. I forget which one it is, but he went there because they were gonna accommodate his desire to play both ways more than any of the major league teams were seeming willing to do. And so I would expect him to continue sort of along that same philosophy and want to go to a team who's going to let him play both ways.
Be interesting to see how this plays out. The Mariners, as part of that D. Gordon trade today with Miami, picked up another $1 million in international money in which to give them the advantage in paying Shohei Ohtani the most money. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to go there, but it looks like Seattle or San Diego at this point.
I think he should go to a place that really prides itself on playing the right way. And never mind. I'm being facetious.
I think
it's
really interesting to me that some of the teams on his list, the Padres, the Angels, are not only on his list, but apparently, you know, there's a lot of smoke about him. Why would an international superstar come to America and go play for the Padres? It's just he's totally busted the narrative.
Well, the team that he played on in Japan, which I believe was the Nippon Ham team, yeah, which is a brand of ham. They trained when they came to America and spent some time at spring training. They trained in Peoria at the Padres facility. The Padres and the Mariners share
a
spring training facility. It's very nice. It's actually, it's one of the older ones in Arizona now because it's about 20 years old. But there's a tremendous familiarity there with the Padres organization. And then with the Mariners, they've got a great track record of having Japanese stars, the most notable being Ichiro Suzuki. So if he wants to play in a smaller market and on the West Coast, I think those two teams are good options. The Texas Rangers, that's the one where I'm having a hard time understanding. I still don't see him fitting in with the Cubs, especially since he spurned Boston and New York, and sounds like he doesn't necessarily want to deal with a major media market. But this is going to be fascinating if he makes his choice, and he could very well soon before the winter meetings are finished up next week, and it's a small market team like the Padres. I'm really looking forward to watching Major League Baseball and those who cover it have their heads explode when that happens. The fact that he didn't have the Yankees or the Mets or the Red Sox on the list of big, or the Dodgers really are not necessarily in play here, that speaks volumes here. I think it's going to be fun to watch. 6:53, we'll step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, our final big board update of the night, and then we'll set the table for a LaShawn Daniels list show tomorrow with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. LaShawn had to bail on us because the Redskins charter is going to be making its way to the West Coast, so we'll see if we can come up with a replacement for him. Back with more after this.
It's time for some straight talk, Wingo.
Hit me, big fella.
Athletes love to talk trash, right?
Absolutely. Like you couldn't cover a bed with a blanket or you couldn't catch a cold.
Yep. That's good. Well, athletes aren't the only ones who love to talk smack. Those big wireless companies love to brag about how great their data plans are.
Sure, they say they have, quote, unlimited plan, end quote, until you run out of data and they hit you with a data overage.
Bingo, just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. Their ultimate unlimited plan is exactly that, unlimited. You get all the high-speed 4G LTE data you need for just $55 a month.
And no overages.
Exactly. All on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks, best phones, best networks, and now the best unlimited data deal.
It speaks for itself.
Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 4G LTE data that never runs out for just $55 a month. Available at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Friday night, it's a Metro MVC doubleheader right here on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join us Friday at 5:50 as the Xavier Saints host the Linmar Lions. The girls' game is up first on 107.5 FM at 5:50, followed by the boys' game on 1600 AM at 7:30. That's an NBC Hoops Double Dip presented by First Federal Credit Union. Linmar at Xavier, Friday starting at 5:50, right here on KGYM.
Well, that's going to affect programming with this show tomorrow as well. We've got high school hoops.
And we do.
Plenty on the horizon for you tomorrow, including Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. He's going to be sitting in for you, Alex, as you'll be here for half the show.
Correct.
You'll be here for Love It or Leave It, and we'll see Rob filling in the gaps the final 90 minutes of the program.
Matt Bowen tomorrow.
Matt Bowen, former Iowa Hawkeye, does a lot of media work in Chicago, and Really, really an interesting follow for people, especially if they're into the analytics of football. Looking forward to chatting with Matt. It's been years since the last time Matt Bowen was on the afternoon program here. It was really before he was a big deal. I mean, his NFL career was over, but I mean, his media profile has just exploded now, and I will do my best to make sure that I don't have him working at the Cedar Rapids Gazette tomorrow when I introduce him. 6:55, let's get a final Midwest One Bank Big Board update out of the way. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa defensive back Josh Jackson had a chance to take home the Jim Thorpe Award tonight as one of three finalists at the College Football Hall of Fame for the College Football Award Show. But just a little bit ago, that award went to Minkah Fitzpatrick, so Josh Jackson's got a lot of accolades this year, but not that one. The Iowa women's basketball team beat Iowa State inside Hilton Coliseum last night for the first time since 1989 by a score of 61-55. Megan Gustafson turned in 16 points and 14 rebounds, but the Hawkeyes were led in scoring by Mackenzie Meyer with 18. It was more of a defensive struggle all night, and the Hawkeyes held the Cyclones to just 29% from the floor and got the win. Josh Jackson along with Josie Jewell were named first-team All-Americans by Sports Illustrated this morning. Iowa State linebacker Joel Lanning was also recognized by Sports Illustrated, being named a second-team All-American as an all-purpose player. Lanning was on the field for 934 snaps this season for the Cyclones, and he's the first player to record a sack, interception, fumble recovery, and both a passing and a rushing touchdown in a single season since Eric Weddle did it for Utah in 2006. Jamie Pollard gave another update on ticket sales for the Liberty Bowl this morning. He says both Iowa State and Memphis have sold out their 15,000 ticket allotments. It's the men's turn to go at it in the Cy-Hawk series tonight. We'll have that game from Ames beginning at 6:30 on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. Beginning at 7:30, we're also going to have the girls from Solon hosting West Branch on those same North and South Gym FM frequencies.
All right, Iowa State and Iowa underway right now, 1600 AM. John Walters finishing up his pregame, getting ready for tip-off. Iowa State's got nine guys dressed. Ryan Kreener will be a game-time decision, although he was one of the first players on the floor getting his shots up. Tomorrow, we're here in the studio, and we hope that you'll be along with us. Talk to you then.
Guys, the JCPenney Holiday Challenge.